Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's Let's ride.
Time for the words that are recited before each and every game here at Dodger Stadium. Take it away, Finn.
It's time for Dodger baseball.
How's everyone doing tonight? What's going on? Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Incline Dodgers podcast. We are presented by TickPick and FanSided. This is Kevin Klein speaking, solo show tonight. So you know what that means? That means more of your questions. Drop them below in the chat. More of your topics, more of your comments. We'll get to everything you guys want to post. Really want to appreciate all you guys tuning in this evening. I'm fired up tonight because your Los Angeles Dodgers had a very successful road trip. They're now 73-52 on the season. They are 3 games ahead of the San Diego Padres for first place in the National League West. They're 4 games ahead of the Arizona Diamondbacks for first place in the National League West. Your Los Angeles Dodgers went 4-3 in this Minneapolis Central road trip. They continue to hold on for first place in the National League West. So thank God. Thank goodness, everyone. What's up, Moose? What's up, Trey B? Thank you guys so much. Just trying to get this content shared out there. I don't know why Restream decided to change their settings last second on me. So apologize as I have to adapt, just like the Dodgers had to adapt without some of their key players this weekend. So we'll get into all that. We're going to cover everything there is to cover in terms of the Los Angeles Dodgers that took place over the past week. A lot of highs. Thankfully, not many lows this go around, so that's very fortunate for the Dodgers. We did have some injuries, of course, so we'll talk about that. We've got some guys coming back, but should be a fun show. Looking forward to your guys' questions, your guys' comments. Can't complain, though. The Dodgers remain in first place in the National League West. So let's get into this. They took 2-3 at the St. Louis Cardinals. They also split with the Milwaukee Brewers. Thank you, Javier T, for the shout-out. What's up, Dennis Gonzalez? We're going to talk about the rotation. Don't worry about that, guys. But, yeah, let's get into this. The Dodgers took 2-3 against the St. Louis Cardinals. They won the first game of the series. They dropped the second, and they won the final game to take that 2-1 series lead. So let's get into this. Clayton Kershaw picked up his second win of the season for the Dodgers. He led the Dodgers to a 2-1 victory over the Cardinals today. Clayton Kershaw pitched 6 shutout innings. He only gave up 4 hits, had 2 strikeouts, no earned runs, and he was efficient. He only needed to throw 70 pitches to get through six innings today. He lowers his ERA on the season to 2.63. Clayton Kershaw, over his last three games, which includes a game against the Phillies, the Brewers, and these Cardinals, has a 1.10 ERA over those three starts. That also covers the month of August. So Clayton Kershaw has looked very good, despite, you know, not having the velocity, throwing 89 to 90 miles per hour, pretty consistent, below average stuff with the fastball, but his slider has been very effective. He's throwing a pretty good curveball as well. He's not getting the strikeouts like we're accustomed to with the peak and vintage Clayton Kershaw, but when he has outings like today against the Cardinals, where he was just on cruise control, and the Cardinals have a lot of right-handed hitters in their lineup, so it's not like Clayton Kershaw had the platoon advantage either. Paul Goldschmidt's in their lineup. He had a home run in the first game of the series, right-handed bat. Nolan Arenado kills the Dodgers as well, right-handed bat. He hit a home run in the second game of the series. Tommy Pham, a guy that's a little bit of a thorn in the Dodgers side, right-handed bat. Wilson Contreras, right-handed bat. So the Cardinals, they got some power in that lineup, and these are right-handed bats. And it didn't matter for Clayton Kershaw. He got the win. Six shutout innings, like I said, only needed 70 pitches. So he was on cruise control. He was efficient. Dave Roberts took him out to hand the bridge over, and it started with Evan Phillips, then Daniel Hudson, who gave up a solo home run, and then Michael Kopech closed it out for his second save already in a Dodgers uniform. So we'll talk about the back end of the bullpen in just a couple of minutes and how that's kind of taken shape over the last few days, because it's definitely changed and it's noticeable. And I think a lot of Dodgers fans are getting their wishes in terms of who's closing these games out. But let's start with the rotation to kind of close out this subject. So we kind of have an idea now what this Dodgers postseason rotation is going to shape out and look like, I believe, come October. This is in no particular order, but let's imagine if all these guys are healthy and available for the Dodgers postseason in October. Well, it should be Tyler Glass now. Yoshinobu Yamamoto, he should be in that mix. Jack Flaherty is a no-brainer, and I don't think you can debate it otherwise, given the options and who's available and who's pitched and honestly earned it up to this point. Clayton Kershaw is going to be in that Dodgers postseason rotation. I think those are the four. I don't really see it any other way at this point, given how much Walker Buehler struggled, how bad Bobby Miller's looked. Robleski is starting to be exposed. And Landon Knack, I just don't think there's enough reps under his belt to give any of these guys a start. You could argue Gavin Stone, but I don't think he's out pitching Clayton Kershaw right now down the stretch. And it's really hard for me to imagine the Dodgers handing over that baseball to Gavin Stone in favor of Clayton Kershaw, just given the fact that Clayton Kershaw is the arguably the greatest pitcher to ever wear a Dodgers uniform versus Gavin Stone, who had a nice outing against the Brewers, but has kind of been a little inconsistent in the second half. It would probably take a near perfect final five or six starts for Gavin Stone to get the ball in maybe game four. Maybe he gets a bullpen role in the postseason. But unless you guys want to debate and argue differently, I think it's Tyler Glass now, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Jack Flaherty, and Clayton Kershaw. That's your Dodgers postseason. Let's see below if you guys have any disagreement in the comments, but I'm going to leave it at that. Just going to try to promote this page real quick because, like I was saying, Restream's acting up and not what I'm used to, but I want to let everyone in the Discord know that we're live, because the Discord chat is awesome. If you're not in it yet, well, you're missing out. And it's a really fun gathering for a lot of awesome Dodger fans. So I'll share that link in a few minutes. But yeah, highly recommend joining our Incline Discord chat. So yeah, Clay Kershaw got the win. He's now 2-2 on the season. Mentioned it a minute ago. He's got a 1.10 ERA over his last three starts, and it's against good competition. I mean, the Phillies, the Brewers, and the Cardinals, that's no joke. So he's getting the job done. And I believe Clayton Kershaw, he's earned it at this point. Who's starting tomorrow, according to Dodger Blue for you? It's going to be Gavin Stone. So we'll talk about that series later on. But so that's it for Clayton Kershaw. I think that covers everything. He's looking good. How about the other superstar on the offensive side now for the Dodgers? Shohei Ohtani, who had an impact in this series. He had two home runs. He hit his 38th home run on Saturday. He hit his 39th home run today, Sunday, off Sonny Gray. So Shohei Ohtani's up to 39 home runs now. He also swiped two bags in this series. He had two stolen bases. So he has 37 stolen bases on the season. Currently, Shohei Ohtani is on pace for 50 home runs in a Dodgers uniform. That would break a franchise record that I believe Cody Bellinger set, or Sean Green. Kind of blanking right now. It might have been Sean Green who had 49 home runs, I think. So Shohei Ohtani is on pace for 50 home runs. That would break a franchise record. He'd be the first ever Los Angeles Dodgers player to have 50 home runs in a season. And I mean, that just sounds about right, because this is year one of Shohei Ohtani, and his bat has been very potent, especially with the slug, getting all those home runs up to 39, like I mentioned. Year one, probably will be a Hall of Famer in a Dodgers uniform, and we're only at the very beginning of this awesome era. And he hasn't even pitched yet for the Dodgers, so that's a reason they paid him $700 million, not only to hit the baseball as great as he has all season, but he's also going to be in the Dodgers starting rotation beginning in 2025, and hopefully makes many starts ahead in a Dodgers uniform. But yeah, so 50-50 would be quite a milestone. 50 stolen bases, 50 home runs. The way it's looking right now, I think he could get to the 50 home runs. The 50 stolen bases, I feel like, would be a little bit harder, even though they've made the bases bigger, so it's easier for guys to steal bases now. I think Shohei Ohtani's career high in stolen bases entering the season was like 26 or 28, and he's already up to a career high 37. But if Shohei Ohtani isn't convincing people that he's the National League MVP, if he steals 50 bases and he hits 50 home runs, then he's a unanimous MVP. I don't give a crap that he's not playing the field. Braves fans argued to their deathbed that Ronald Acuna Jr. was the National League MVP because of all the stolen bases he was able to accomplish. So now if they're going to change the narrative and say they are going to, you know, diminish stolen bases because Ohtani's doing it, then that's just hypocritical. For me, Ohtani's been the MVP pretty much ever since Mookie Betts went down. You could argue Mookie Betts was the Dodgers MVP up until that injury. But for now, it's Shohei Ohtani because he's been here since game one and really hasn't missed any time. 50 home runs, 50 stolen bases. Do you guys think in the chat that Shohei Ohtani can pull off this accomplishment? Right now, I'm going to say he'll get the 50 home runs. I think he'll get 40 stolen bases, but I don't know if he'll reach 50. That seems pretty ambitious. But if anyone's going to do it, it's Shohei Ohtani. So let me know if you think he's going to be able to get those 50 stolen bases. I'm excited for what Ohtani's done. And once we get to October, I think that's when we're going to really see the best Ohtani. I'm just hoping that he's saving his best stuff for October, because I don't think it's getting past anyone right now that he's kind of in a slump. In the month of August, he's hitting 174 with just a 749 OPS. He only has 12 hits. But of those 12 hits, 7 of them are home runs. So Ohtani's kind of in a weird spot right now where he's not getting many base hits or hits in general, but when he is hitting the baseball, they're home runs. And obviously this isn't going to be something that Ohtani's going to continue to have going on for the rest of the second half, but it is an interesting slump worth noting right now. And I think many Dodger fans are kind of aware that Ohtani is in a bit of a slump, but I'm not concerned. I don't know if you guys are concerned. Let me know if you are, if you think Ohtani is going to get out of this. But I mean, he's the best player on planet Earth for a reason. I'm very confident Shohei Ohtani is going to bust out of the slump, get that batting average back over 300, maybe chase for a triple crown, because he's in that territory where he could get it done. And yeah, just promoting the show real quick on YouTube. Make sure we get everyone in this channel right now. If you haven't hit that like button yet, please hit the like button. If you're not subscribing to this channel, do me a favor and be a subscriber as well. And you know, if you have any questions and you want me to cover anything in particular, drop your questions below, because this is meant for everyone to have some fun tonight. It's Sunday evening. It's not Saturday Night Live, but it's Sunday Night Live, and we're talking Dodgers baseball. Okay, so let's get back into the show. It was a 2-1 game, which means you need someone to close this game out And I think the Dodgers have found their closer, and it's a guy that they acquired right before the trade deadline from the Chicago White Sox, and his name is Michael Kopech. What do you guys think? Is Michael Kopech the Dodgers' new closer? It's sure looking like it. He's already got two saves now in a Dodgers uniform. Dave Roberts is already overworking this guy, and he said it after the game today that he felt gassed. So they're going to give him a couple days off now in this next series. So we might not see Michael Kopech pitch for the Dodgers until Wednesday because he was used in three of the last four games for the Dodgers. But despite all that, Michael Kopech has been unreal. He's pitched 9 1/3 innings for the Dodgers, amassed those two saves, has only allowed one single hit in those 9 1/3 innings, 13 strikeouts, and has a zero ERA. In this outing today against the Cardinals, he got the job done, didn't give up any hits. I believe only one Cardinal reached on a throwing error by Austin Barnes, and his velocity dropped a couple ticks. So instead of throwing that 100 to 103 mile per hour range that Kopech has been doing for the Dodgers, he's throwing more around 98 miles per hour. Because like I just said a second ago, he mentioned after the game that he was feeling a little bit gassed. So let's cool it, Dave Roberts. Let's not overwork this guy. I know he's super exciting to have because he's the new face in town. He's an electric guy to have in your bullpen, and he's a flamethrower. But let's take it easy. We've still got this guy for another year. Let's not burn him out. He's going to have some big innings in October, no doubt about it. But for me, I'm ready to appoint him as the Dodgers closer. So let's see what we've got going on in the comments. Let's see. Renato Yepes, what's going on? I think Ohtani has never been in a playoff push. Something new for him. Absolutely correct. The Angels have always been bad with Shohei Ohtani on their roster. They never made the postseason once. This is unfamiliar territory for Ohtani. He's got the World Baseball Classic underneath his belt, so he has those competitive games. I'm sure he's played in many competitive games out in Japan, but at a major league level, this is the first time Shohei Ohtani, probably even at this point in the season now, is finally in a meaningful race. And I think he's got to adjust in terms of keeping him more fresh because normally he's done by mid-September. Oftentimes it's injuries or the Angels are out of it. But Ohtani's still got hopefully many more series to come October. Corey Shadid, who do you think we are losing? Who do you think is losing their spot tomorrow with Muncy and Edmund coming off the IL? Yeah, so I'm going to get to that, but Max Muncy and Tommy Edman are going to be activated off the injured list. I'm a little concerned about the Freeman injury. I could see them placing him on the injured list potentially. And I think Nick Ahmed's getting DFA'd, but more on that in just a few minutes. Mr. Milko, Kopech is nice. He does need a break. Velocity was down. Absolutely. And Dennis Gonzalez, Sean Green has the record, 49 home runs. Thank you, Dennis. That's what I thought. For a second, I thought it was Cody Bellinger, but then I thought about it again. I was like, no, it was Sean Green. So Michael Kopech, I think he's the Dodgers closer. Evan Phillips, this sets him up nicely to be in that fireman role. This is something that I had been talking about all season long. I think that's where Evan Phillips would be at his finest. Gives Dave Roberts more flexibility in terms of how to get usage out of this guy. He can be used in the sixth inning or the seventh inning if the Dodgers are in a tight pickle. You call Evan Phillips out of the pen. He hopefully extinguishes that fire. And you got Kopech for the ninth. This bullpen is really strong for the Dodgers. And frankly, I don't even know how they're going to figure out how to choose it come the postseason. And this is why. So we've got Kopech. He's a lock. Phillips is a lock. Hudson is a lock. Vesia is a lock. I think Banda is a lock. That's five. You've got Brewster Graterol now rehabbing, and he could be back very soon. He would be a lock. Blake Treinen, he is rehabbing. He should be back soon. He would be a lock. And then Ryan Brazier's back in the Dodgers bullpen, and he threw an inning and a third on Saturday. He should be a lock as well. And I don't even think I've covered everyone yet, but the point is this Dodgers bullpen is deep. And guys like Joe Kelly, who haven't been as efficient and effective this season, are probably going to be watching from the couch this October, barring an injury. That's just how it goes. Dave Roberts has said it a couple times now. They're looking to go with their best, and performance is going to matter. And so guys like Joe Kelly, who aren't pitching at the same caliber as some of these other guys, sorry, you're going to have to leave them off. Michael Grove even had a brief stint with the Dodgers. They called him up. He already got sent back down because this bullpen just has a lot of guys right now. And I haven't even touched upon the new face yet that was added to this Dodgers bullpen, but we'll get to him later on. So, I mean, that covers the Kopech stuff. I think he's the closer. I don't think anyone's going to disagree with me there right now. A guy that I was really excited about when the Dodgers acquired him, and someone we had referred to a few times as a potential trade deadline acquisition for the Dodgers. So good trade. Glad they got that one done. Let's talk about Gavin Lux, because anyone that's listened to the show knows that I'm probably Gavin Lux's biggest critic out there. But even I can't deny the fact that Gavin Lux is just hitting the ball out of his mind right now. He had three hits today. He's raised his batting average up to, I believe, 253. Since the All-Star break, he's hitting 367 with a 1,075 OPS, five home runs, 19 RBIs. I don't know what it was other than Gavin Lux's uncle who helped him tweak some things with his swing over the All-Star break, but I don't know what got into Gavin Lux, but this guy's been on fire, and good for him. He's without a doubt the Dodgers' second baseman now. He literally forced their hand into moving Mookie Betts into right field because Lux is just hitting the ball out of his mind, and you're able to have some flexibility. And another hot guy with Miguel Rojas, who I believe also had a three-hit game today, can just be the consistent Dodgers shortstop. So you've got that combo of Miguel Rojas and Gavin Lux. Both are very hot hitters for the Dodgers, and this is something that they really need, because the offense as a whole has been very inconsistent, pretty flat, especially with runners in scoring position. They're in the bottom half. They just aren't getting the job done. Yep, just like Bob Student 10 said, Augie, Augie, Augie. That guy is going to get an award somehow as one of the X factors for the Dodgers, because he fixed Gavin Lux, and this guy looked like a dead man walking. He looked like he was on the verge of being demoted or traded, and got to give credit where it's due. Gavin Lux has been the Dodgers' best hitter in the second half. Teoscar Hernandez was in that camp for a while, but Teoscar has kind of cooled off, and I'm okay with that because he was hitting the ball out of his mind, and guys like Teoscar are going to go through slumps, and it's all about timing for the Dodgers. Some of these guys like Will Smith, Teoscar, go ahead and slump now. Just be on fire in October. That's all I ask. Mookie Betts is on fire right now. He might go through a little slump. Just be on fire in October, because we're going to need all these guys to step up. This is a huge race. This is a huge race right now going on with the Dodgers. You've got the Dodgers, the Padres, and the D-backs all within the top five best records in Major League Baseball. And one bad series for any of these teams could cost them the division. The Tampa Bay Rays just did the Dodgers a huge favor by sweeping the Arizona Diamondbacks. So now the Diamondbacks are four games out. The Rockies, who are major underdogs and a bad team, took 2-3 against the Padres. So this did the Dodgers a huge favor. They're now three up for first place as the Dodgers took care of business on their end. So they got that three-game lead over the Padres. I think they got one more series left to go.
Men, when we leave the house, it's phone, wallet, keys. How's my hair look? But if you're experiencing hair loss, you may not be so confident when you step outside your door. It's time to get that confidence back and restore your hair with Hims. No man wants to lose his hair, but for men, it's actually quite common. And now with Hims, the solution is simple. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who got their flow back. Men, real talk. The only thing worse than losing your hair is waiting forever for it to grow back. That's why you need Hims, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple, with doctor-trusted treatment options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. They offer personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatment options, so you can find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to your door. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers. So if you feel like you're losing a part of yourself with your hair loss, get Hims and get your confidence back. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today. If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's countrymd.com/energy.
Yesterday's game was very frustrating, and I don't know how you guys felt. I was frustrated for a couple of reasons. First of all, who the hell is Andre Pallante, and how the heck did this guy really contain the Dodgers? He had an ERA in the mid-4s, and he was able to throw 7 innings against the Dodgers yesterday and numerous strikeouts. This guy has been a scrub so far throughout the duration of his major league career, and this isn't the first time we've had right-handed pitchers who are scrubs give it their all and look sharp against the Dodgers. So I was disappointed. The offense was putrid. They were flat. They only scored 2 runs. Pallante dealed through the 7 innings, like I said. This was the game where Freddie Freeman had to leave early because he hurt his finger. Now he has a finger strain, and they're still evaluating how serious the injury is. They're running more scans, but it doesn't sound very assuring right now, because as of today, Freddie Freeman said that it hurt more than yesterday. He can't grip a bat, and so barring some miracle where he finds the fountain of youth or sips a cup of magical wine, I feel like he might end up on the 10-day injured list because the Dodgers have a couple of off days anyways. So I think he'd only be missing about 7 games if we're being real. And who would play first base? Not sure. Maybe they go to Max Muncy, who really hasn't had to play first base since Freddie Freeman joined the Dodgers in 2022. But you can take a chance. Muncy's actually a pretty good defensive first baseman. So I wouldn't hate it if they have Muncy stick it out at first base until Freeman's ready to come back. And with Mookie Betts back and Muncy back, I think you could afford to miss a few more games from Freddie Freeman. That's just my opinion. But the Dodgers have a serious roster crunch right now. And I think Nick Ahmed has to be the first to go. He's been pretty useless offensively. Corey Shadid mentioning how Trinan struck out the side last night. Yeah, I mean, Blake Trinan's coming back, no doubt about it. So for Bob Student 10, who do we IL or send down? I think Nick Ahmed, he's going to get DFA'd. It's going to be the most predictable Dodgers tweet ever where you read the Nick Ahmed has been designated for assignment, but it's going to feel so good when Nick Ahmed is off this team. They're going to activate Max Muncy. They're going to activate Tommy Edman. I mean, the Dodgers, knowing them, they're not going to want to cut anyone. What's up, BC? They're not going to want to cut anyone. And so the way they can get by for now is to just put Freddie Freeman on the injured list. If I was running this ship and Freddie Freeman doesn't need to go on the injured list, I think you got to get Jason Hayward off this 26-man roster. I don't know if you got to phantom IL him or DFA him altogether, but I just don't see the value that Jason Hayward adds to this team. They don't need a right fielder anymore because they got Mookie Betts and they've got Andy Páez. Both of them can play right field, especially against left-handed pitching. Páez is a great platoon advantage guy because he's been hitting lefties very well this season. Defensively, he's pretty good too. As disastrous as he is in center field for the Dodgers, Páez has actually been an above average to slightly almost elite right fielder for the Dodgers. He has a cannon as well, so you can get by with that platoon. You got to keep Kevin Kiermaier on this team at all costs. I got more on him in just a couple minutes, but Kevin Kiermaier has been exceptional. You're getting Tommy Edman. He's going to play most of the time in center field for Dodgers as well. And in left field, Teoscar Hernandez will play just about every game. And so when you look at this roster, until we get to September where you can expand the rosters to 28, I just don't see a role for Jason Hayward. He's not good. He hasn't been good all season for this team. He's had a couple big hits and home runs, but I just don't see the value added. He was really good for the Dodgers last season. He was exceptional almost. He was a steal. But this year, Hayward has regressed back to the Hayward of old, the one that was just basically stealing money from the Cubs and doing nothing. And I just don't see a role for Hayward at all, especially in October. So I'm not buying it. I'm not buying him. I'm selling hard. I think it's got to be the end of an era for Hayward. And when Chris Taylor comes back, because he's rehabbing as well, it's only going to make Hayward even more expendable for this team, because I'm pretty sure Chris Taylor will come back when this roster expansion hits 28 guys come September 1st. And as disappointing as Chris Taylor has been for the Dodgers for the duration of the season, you know how they operate. They're going to give him the rope. They're going to give Chris Taylor as many at-bats as they can to see if he has anything of value to be on this postseason roster, because that's just how the Dodgers roll. They kind of love to live in the past, and guys like Chris Taylor have a lot of big October moments. So I don't think we can say Chris Taylor is cut yet or dead yet. I do think Chris Taylor does have an outside shot of making this postseason roster unless he just hits like the Chris Taylor of April and May. So we'll see what happens there, but the bench is almost full. You got Kike Hernandez. He deserves a spot. He's come up with many big hits this season. You got to have Austin Barnes as your backup catcher. Kevin Kiermaier has earned it. And then one more spot. So it could be Chris Taylor. Could be Páez. Could be Hayward, who we don't want. But Páez and Andy Páez and Chris Taylor are going to battle it out, in my opinion. I think Páez has been much better, but you got the rookie versus the inexperienced You got the rookie versus the very experienced veteran champion. So we'll see. We'll see how the Dodgers roll. Of course, we'll talk about all that as we get closer to the postseason. So love seeing some new faces in the chat. Really appreciate it. If you haven't hit that like button or that subscribe button yet, please, I would appreciate it, and please do so. And if you got questions, drop them below. We're still going for another half hour strong, so I want to make sure I get to all your guys' questions. If you have topics you want me to cover, drop them below in the chat as well. We're just having fun here. So we're not even done with this game yet. So we talked about the offense being very flat. They didn't show up. But what about Bobby Miller? We hadn't seen this guy in months. And Bobby Miller, who faced this very Cardinals team in his first start this season, where he was just dominant, and I took victory laps. I thought he was going to be exceptional. I thought he was going to be a Cy Young candidate. I was ready to roll. He went like six innings. He had 11 strikeouts. I was like, let's freaking go, Bobby Miller. And then it was all downhill from there. I think his next start was at the Cubs, if I'm recalling correctly. And someone hit a home run off him, and his season just tanked after that. And so Bobby Miller was first injured. Then they optioned him to AAA. He wasn't really pitching that well for Oklahoma City, but with the injuries to Tyler Glasnow and having to give guys an extra day off, they, of course, had to give Bobby Miller the call-up, because that's just the Dodgers for you. So Bobby Miller continued, I guess, where he left off, which was not very good, not very reliable. He was all over the plate. He actually pitched 4 2/3 innings, which I'll take, all things considered. And he gave up just 4 runs, which isn't terrible at the end of the day. I mean, it could have been a lot worse of 4 2/3 innings and 4 runs. And he only had 1 walk, despite being behind in like almost every count. I'm kind of astonished that he only had 1 walk. But he also only had, I think, 1 strikeout. So that's not exactly reassuring, a guy that only had 1 strikeout, even though he did generate a number of whiffs. But when he was in the 2 strike count, he couldn't strike anyone out. The ball was put in a play. The ball was put in play a lot. He gave up 8 hits, and so it could have actually been worse for Miller. 4 runs, 8 hits, and he had 4 wild pitches. So this is like Charlie Sheen in Major League. He was just all over the place. He ended up throwing 91 pitches, only 51 of them for strikes. So he threw 40 balls, and his season ERA remains at 8.02. Here we are with Bobby Miller, who last season, most of us viewed him as the Dodgers' top pitching prospect. He was going to be an anchor, a guy we could count on. We loved his energy, felt like he was a big game pitcher, and he is having the ultimate sophomore slump when you put together an 8.02 ERA in the year 2024 for the Dodgers, and he's still on this major league roster as we speak. So I don't know if they're planning on starting him another game. But personally, I don't think Bobby Miller has any shot to be an effective Dodgers starting pitcher for the remainder of this season. Next season's a different topic. He could end up bouncing back, and he's talented enough to absolutely get it back together for the Dodgers. But for 2024, I think Bobby Miller, you got to cut the cord. He shouldn't be starting for the Dodgers. Personally, I would love to see what he could do out of the Dodgers bullpen right now. And I think he could be like another Michael Kopech, a guy that throws gas, give him a roll, and where he only needs to get 3 to 5 outs, if that. And Bobby Miller could be an effective reliever for the Dodgers. I don't think he can be a starter this season. If you disagree with me, let me know in the chat. But personally, I think you got to just stop giving starts to a guy like Bobby Miller. It's too erratic. It's only ruining his confidence at this point. And you never know. He could be a flamethrower out of the bullpen. So that was it. That's the Bobby Miller story for you. But we got to see Ryan Brazier return. Brett Honeywell gave up a home run to Nolan Arenado in his last appearance before getting DFA'd by the Dodgers. So Honeywell's been DFA'd, and now Ben Kasperius was added to the Dodgers active roster. They selected his contract from Oklahoma City, and now he's on the 40-man roster. Nope, there's no co-host, BC. I'm running solo, obviously. But drop your questions below. So Ben Kasperius, he's the age of 25 for the Dodgers, and he's 6'2". He's got a 3.48 across AA and AAA this season, 95 strikeouts, 72 and two-thirds innings. So he's been very effective for the Dodgers at the minor league level. And, I mean, it's cool to see them give him a shot, add him to the 40-man. It's just another arm. This 40-man is going to have a big roster crunch, though, in the offseason. So that'll be interesting. You got a lot of young guys, some of them being injured. I mean, River Ryan's got Tommy John surgery. Kyle Hurt. So there's going to be some injured guys, but yeah. So Kasperius is added. I don't know if he's going to actually pitch for the Dodgers or they have to end up sending him down because of these roster crunches. But the thought process here is that he's going to be a long man out of the pen for now. If the Dodgers need some innings eaten, they'll go to him, and he'll basically replace Honeywell, who replaced Yarbrough. So we're just kind of continuing the chain here. I did see a question about Outman from Dodger Blue for You. Do we see Outman come up again this season? I think he hit two home runs in Oklahoma City tonight, but I don't think we're going to see James Outman again this season. Unfortunately for him, he just didn't have a good year. And with Kevin Kiermaier on the roster, you're going to go with the veteran over the younger, inexperienced player that's just been struggling. And so it's a hard life out there sometimes. And that's unfortunately how it goes if you're a baseball player sometimes. But yeah, I'm excited about Kasperius. I think he'll be effective, and he throws pretty hard too. I think he can get the high 90s in his velocity, so he'll be good. More injuries to talk about though. So Tyler Glasnow did go on the injured list with elbow tendonitis, and this was a weird day because I believe this was on Friday, and we are now basically 30 minutes before first pitch. The Dodgers still hadn't officially announced their lineup. Robleski wasn't officially added to the team. And every 5 minutes, I was just refreshing like crazy. I'm like, okay, what's going on here? Who's coming off the roster? There were some mentions about Tyler Glasnow. I think Dave Roberts said he was in line to make his next start. And then bang, like 8 minutes before first pitch, literally down to the wire, we get the announcement that Tyler Glasnow is getting placed on the injured list with the elbow tendonitis, and then they activated Robleski, who made a start and then was sent back down to Oklahoma City the next day. So Glasnow's on the 15-day IL, and whenever you hear elbow in the title of an injury, there's always reasons to be concerned. And maybe I'm naive here, but I'm going to try to be optimistic about this for once, because even Tyler Glasnow himself said he was ready to make his start the next day and he was trying to push for it, but the Dodgers were trying to err on the side of caution and they just didn't want to jeopardize or risk anything. And so I'm sure there is some legitimacy to the soreness or the little minor sting that Tyler Glasnow is experiencing in his elbow. But I personally think the Dodgers are just trying to be smart here and load manage Tyler Glasnow, because he's in very deep waters of a territory he's never been before at all in his major league career. I mean, if you look at his stats right now, he's already made 22 starts this year. That's a career high. He's pitched 134 innings right now. That's 14 more than his previous career high, which he did last season for the Rays. And so when you're thinking big picture here, this is already back-to-back seasons now where Tyler Glasnow has pitched a new career high in innings, and this is their ace. This is someone they are going to need in October. Tyler Glasnow is the only one in this Dodgers rotation who's been able to go this many innings, make this many starts, and pitch consistently 6 to 7 innings on a recurring basis. And he has the best swing and miss stuff on this Dodgers starting staff. And so you need him, especially in these big games in October. You need to have starters that have swing and miss stuff because that's what plays more in October. You can try to pitch to contact, but there are times where contact pitchers just get absolutely pummeled in October. And no offense to Clayton Kershaw, but we've seen that happen to him. We've seen that happen to guys like Marcus Stroman. Corbin Burnes tried to pitch to contact. He got destroyed. Max Fried has pitched to contact. He's gotten destroyed. And even Tyler Glasnow doesn't have the best October resume. We saw him in the World Series. The Dodgers destroyed him. But the way Tyler Glasnow has pitched this season, I think he's taken his game to new heights. And this is the best version of Tyler Glasnow we've seen at the major league level. And so for me, it's load management. Give him the rest of the month off. He comes back, I guess, September 1st or something around that range. And he helps make the push into October. But yeah, I mean, personally, I think the Dodgers just need to give him like three more regular season starts. And then hopefully he has to make like 4 to 6 October starts for the Dodgers. And he brings his A game there. Because without Tyler Glasnow, they're not going to get very far, without a doubt. Like, they need Tyler Glasnow, and they need him pitching well to have any shot at a successful October run. And then speaking of Yoshinobu Yamamoto, we got a positive update on him. He threw 17 whole pitches to live hitting the other day, and he's about to be in line to start making some rehab starts. And so this is huge, obviously, because in my opinion, the Dodger season took its biggest turn when they lost Yoshinobu Yamamoto. I think the impact of losing Yamamoto was actually bigger than losing Mookie Betts, Max Muncy, even Freddie Freeman for a week. I think when they lost Yamamoto, this was the biggest curveball to the Dodgers season. And my logic is for a pretty simple reason, I think, that many of you viewers can probably relate to. So when they lost Yamamoto, you were losing a guy that was almost like a reset for the Dodgers bullpen, because when Yamamoto was pitching for the Dodgers, he was able to give them 6 to 7 innings on a consistent basis. I think he even pitched into the 8th inning at least once, if not twice. And so when you've got a guy like Yamamoto who's able to give you 18 to 21 outs consistently, that gives the bullpen a bigger rest period. And so when Yamamoto went down, that's when the dominoes started to kind of hit as well. Dodgers starters were no longer pitching deeper into games. Therefore, the bullpen was getting more usage. And when the bullpen was getting more usage, certain guys were getting taxed and they weren't as effective as they once were. And then certain guys were ending up on the injured list. And so we had to rely on guys like Johan Ramirez closing out games and giving up home runs. We had to watch awful pitchers like Nick Ramirez pitching for the Dodgers. Michael Peterson had to pitch some games. A lot of Yarbrough. So just the fact that when you lose a guy like Yamamoto, that consistent guy every 5th to 6th day because he needs the rest. Mr. Milko, thank you. Yeah, he went against Miami. I think I was at that game when he did that. And so when you lose a guy like Yamamoto, it forces your other starters to... Well, I should say it forces when you lose Yamamoto and your starters aren't getting the job done, and you've got guys like Miller and Buehler and Robleski and Ryan who either leave with injuries or aren't pitching deep into the game, then the Dodgers have to tax their bullpen. And we've seen it pretty much this last month and a half now where the Dodgers bullpen just hasn't been as sharp and strong as they were in the first half of the season. And so it's actually nice to see guys like Brazier back who are fresh and hopefully Grottle very soon. There'll be fresh arms and they'll feel good come October because the Dodgers definitely need some fresh arms in this pen. And Blake Treinen had to go on the IL, so he'll be another fresh arm coming back soon, I'm pretty sure. And that's why they can't overwork Michael Kopech, because then he'll be out of gas. And I don't want them to do another Brandon Morrow. I mean, that was just ridiculous what Dave Roberts did with Morrow. He used him in all 7 games of the World Series and then just completely mushed his arm. Like, can't do that. Just cannot do that with these guys. So, yeah, Yamamoto's coming back, hopefully in early September. And that should be a huge boost. I mean, Yamamoto was supposed to be their co-ace, and he was awesome up until the injury. So let's just continue to hope that we get Yamamoto back. So we'll talk about the first Cardinals game in a second. But of course, if anyone's hopping in now, drop your questions below. If there are topics you want me to cover, drop those below in the chat as well. Appreciate you guys all hanging out with me. Hit those, drop those questions in, hit that like button.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Brighten up your garage or workspaces with LED utility and panel light bulbs from GT Light. GT Light light bulbs are energy efficient, and with their easy adjustable light panels, you can direct light where you need it most. Save big on all GT industrial utility and panel light bulbs. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for more hot deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm open to answering any questions, as crazy as they can be. So drop those questions, guys. But yeah, so the first game, this was the Kevin Kiermaier game. So this is why I was talking about why Kevin Kiermaier needs to be on this postseason roster. Not only is he arguably the best defensive center fielder I've ever seen put on a Dodgers uniform, but he's even got a stick now. He had a big 3-run home run to give the Dodgers that lead in that Cardinals game. So this guy plays amazing defense. He is the best defensive center fielder on this roster, and the guy's hungry. I mean, he flat out said it. Getting traded to the Dodgers basically sparked and reinvigorated his career. This is a guy that I've seen come up big for the Tampa Bay Rays in October when he was on the other side. And to me, Kevin Kiermaier is going to have below average numbers in the regular season. He's never going to put up sexy big numbers, but I feel like he's another David Freese, where when the moment calls for it, he's going to step up, whether it's with the glove or even the bat. I'm a big Kevin Kiermaier truther. I've actually been a big fan of him for a couple years now. Before the 2023 season, when Kevin Kiermaier was also a free agent and the Dodgers needed a center fielder, I took my shot and called for Kevin Kiermaier to be on the Dodgers. And we didn't get our wish because he went to the Blue Jays, but now he's on the Dodgers. So I see a question from Ivy. So let me get to this question. What made you have a change of heart for the hat? I remember you calling it hideous and was never going to wear anything City Connect. I'm being called out here and I appreciate it. I don't remember. So I know for a fact I bashed the jerseys. I hated the jerseys. And I would never buy a City Connect uniform. That is spot on. And I was at the Dodgers clubhouse store at the Camarillo Outlets today, and they had everything you could imagine. City Connect, Shohei Ohtani. And for a split second, I thought about buying a City Connect t-shirt, but I was like, nah, I'm not going to do it. In terms of the hat, though, I'm pretty sure I said I liked the logo, even though I think I did compare it to Disneyland, and it does kind of look like a Mickey Mouse Disneyland Dodgers hat. But I don't think I was a hater on the hat as much as I was a hater on the price. And so, yeah, I gave in. I paid the stupid $35. You can call me out, but I needed a new Dodgers hat. And I was deciding between this one and honestly the Pride hat. I don't know why I would buy the Dodgers Pride hat, but I kind of like the rainbow look. But I decided to go with the City Connect hat. And so, yeah, I went with it. You call me a liar, whatever. I'm owning it. I don't hate the hat. Doesn't look like a Pop-Tart like Corey Singh in the chat. But yes, I appreciate your question. And if you guys have more questions, feel free to drop them below. But yeah, Kevin Kiermaier is awesome. I mean, this guy is playing phenomenal defense for the Dodgers. Andy Páez, he's been a pretty hot hitter for the Dodgers too. He's hitting .318 with one home run over his last seven games. Let me take a quick pause right here. If you guys have any questions, I'm going to give you guys some time to fire them up in the chat. But this podcast is brought to you by TickPick. TickPick has been our sponsor for the last couple seasons now. It's my go-to if you're looking to buy Dodgers tickets. They've got the best deals out there on the market. Pretty sure Teoscar Hernandez bobblehead's coming up on Tuesday. So if you're looking to snag a Teoscar bobblehead, go ahead and download the TickPick app because there's no service fees at checkout. And you'll get the cheapest, best Dodger tickets out there. I was able to score first row seats to a day to remember a month ago using TickPick. So if you're into concerts or you got NFL season coming up, I don't know who your guys' teams are. I'm a Rams fan, planning to use TickPick to go see my Rams in person though. So yeah, that's going to cover the Cardinals series. Now let's go actually ahead to the next series, and this will tie everything together because I have not talked about Buehler yet, but the Dodgers have a 3-game homestand next up with the Seattle Mariners. And normally I wouldn't give a crap about playing the Seattle Mariners, but this is the first time a certain someone is making his return to Dodger Stadium since leaving the Dodgers. And they actually faced him a couple times on the road because they faced him against the Red Sox last season. And then they faced him this season at the Blue Jays. But now he's on a new team. And Justin Turner is going to make his Dodger Stadium return for the first time with the Seattle Mariners. And I kind of wanted to get anyone's thoughts on Justin Turner real quick. What was your guys' favorite memory? Drop them below in the comments. If you're watching if you're watching later and you want to drop below in the comments, feel free to share what your favorite Justin Turner memory is. I mean, for me, it's probably the chalk obvious pick. Game 2, the 2017 NLCS against the Cubs when he hit the walk-off against John Lackey to give the Dodgers the win, the 2-0 series lead. That was the moment where I felt like the Dodgers are winning the World Series. That was the moment. So for me, that will always go down as my favorite Justin Turner memory. That NLCS walk-off was just iconic. Probably the biggest moment of the 2017 postseason run. And that was just awesome. I see Paul C. saying the diving tag versus Atlanta. That was in the 2020 NLCS. That was another huge moment as well. I love that big JT moment. That was epic. He was the extension that he was able to get on that play. That was phenomenal defense. Big going with the NLCS walk-off as well. Mariners starting pitching away has an ERA over 4. Yes, they do. Aaron Etik mentioning that they should make a tribute video for him. I'm sure they will. They've made tribute videos for worse players. So they're going to make a Justin Turner tribute video. There's no doubt about it. They're going to have like a 2-minute delay because he's going to get a standing ovation in his very first at bat back to Dodger Stadium. And it's going to be epic. This is going to be a sight to see. Low 17th, the double play against the Braves. Yep. Dennis Gonzalez, that Superman tag in 2020. So those are the ones I'm seeing right now is the NLCS walk-off home run in 2017 and the tag in 2020. Dodger blue for you, the selfie celebration with Adrian Gonzalez. Yep, I remember that as well. They even made a bobblehead after that. But yeah, Justin Turner is a Dodger legend. And I don't think, in my head, I'm like, they're not going to retire his number because he's not a Hall of Famer. But he's definitely going to go into the Dodgers Ring of Honor one day, and they'll have some type of Dodgers Justin Turner, Dodger Stadium, Justin Turner related display there, whether it's a plaque or a poster of somewhat or something Justin Turner related, you can bet it that Justin Turner will have some type of tribute one day when he's retired related to the Dodger Stadium. That's right. Los Dodgers World Series champs, the Long Beach legend, Justin Turner. I'm a Long Beach alumni, so we can rock Long Beach all day here on this podcast. But yeah, the tag is seems to be a big one. So let's get to the people think Justin Turner could be their future manager. I don't know about that, to be honest. I don't think Justin Turner is going to be a manager, but if I had to make a prediction about what's next for Justin Turner, I think Justin Turner is going to be in the broadcast booth. I think he's going to be the main color commentator next to Joe Davis, assuming that Fox doesn't steal him away from us full time. But I think that's going to be your booth, Joe Davis and Justin Turner. I mean, I'm sure most of us have heard Justin Turner talk, and he just seems like an excellent color commentator. So I think he'll be in the booth for the Dodgers. That's my prediction. I mean, he could be a coach as well, but personally, I think he'll be more entertainment focused. So Ivy, if you could have a guest besides Shohei, who would you want on your podcast? Clayton Kershaw. I mean, that's the answer speaks for itself. If Clayton Kershaw came on this podcast, I mean, that would be the biggest W of my life. So I'd have so many great questions for Kershaw. We would talk 2014 no-hitter. We would talk about the 2017 World Series run. We'd talk 2020. We would talk all the things. So that's my answer for you, Clayton Kershaw. Replace Oral. Yep. They can split duties because, I mean, let's be real. Oral Hershiser only does about half the Dodgers games anyway. So why not give the other half to Justin Turner? That would mean less of Eric Karros, less of Jessica Mendoza, less of Nomar, Agon, whoever. I like Dontrell Willis, but I don't know why he doesn't do many games for the Dodgers. That I do not understand. I will not be at the game tomorrow. Dodger Blue for you. And Bob, Student 10, the meltdowns. I don't know what you mean by the meltdowns, unless you're referring to grilled cheeses, and grilled cheeses are good. That is something I do love all about when it comes to meltdowns. So we got a question coming from Big. What will it take for the Dodgers to win the World Series this year, in your opinion? Oh, man. This is the million-dollar question. I mean, if you could think of a better question, I don't think you could, because this is the ultimate question right now from Big. And I wish I had all the answers, because if I did, then the Dodgers need to hire me like stat, and we will game plan, and we would be a dynasty. But I'll give you three things that come to my mind instantly when it comes to what will it take for the Dodgers to win the World Series this year. And we're getting near the end of the show, guys. So ask those final questions. Bring your A game. So I'm going to get to everything. Just drop them below in the chat, and I'll get to it. So what will it take for the Dodgers to win the World Series? Number one, and I think this is the easy and safe answer, health. The Dodgers need to be healthy to win the World Series. Last year and in 21, they weren't healthy. Think about it. They started Clayton Kershaw on a bum shoulder last season to kick off the postseason. They didn't have Urias because he became an asshole and got kicked off the team. Plus, he wasn't healthy anyways. The number one answer is obviously health. In 2021, we lost Max Muncy because of the injury on the last game of the season. We lost Max Scherzer because he claimed he was too tired to pitch. We lost Clayton Kershaw, who was dealing with injuries. And even the last couple years, Walker Buehler was this team's go-to. This was their dog. This was the guy, give the ball to game one or game seven or whatever elimination game it was. He sets the tone for the playoffs, and they didn't have him. They didn't have him in 2022. They didn't have him in 2023. They're probably not going to have him in 2024, but that's besides the point, because they've got new guys. They've got Glass now. They've got hopefully Yamamoto, and they've got Jack Flaherty. Those are some big names for you. So health is the number one answer. They've got Mookie Betts back. They're getting Max Muncy back. They're getting all the guys back. Freddie Freeman, I'm sure he'll be healthy. So that's number one. Number two is bullpen management. The bullpen management has to be on point. There are times where Dave Roberts just dicks around or has his head up his ass, and he makes the wrong call when it comes to managing the bullpen. He's done it countless times. We all know about 2019. We know about 2021 with the Urias coming out of the pen for no reason when they were already short-staffed. So for me, number two is bullpen management. Roberts dropped the ball in the Padres series as well because he went with Canely and then someone, Canely and then Almonte and then Vesia, but he didn't go to Phillips. So Dave Roberts, according to what they say, Friedman and Roberts will game plan kind of what they're going to do. But then when it comes to in-game decisions, Dave Roberts is the one that makes the call. So number two is the bullpen management. And then number three is adjustments. The Dodgers have to adjust. The last two seasons, it's been publicly called out. The opposition, opposing scouts, called out the Dodgers for not making in-game adjustments, and they were able to come up with a game plan that just completely caught the Dodgers off guard. And back-to-back series now, the Dodgers had the opportunity to scout who they were going to play, and they dropped the ball. They had the rest against the Padres and the Diamondbacks, and they still lost the series. So for me, it's adjustments. They got to be able to see a pitcher. You go through it one time through, I guess, and if you're off your game in those first at-bats, you make the adjustments in the second at-bat. So those are my three for now. Health, bullpen management, and adjustments. Thank you so much, Big, for the question. What's next? I'm trying to find where I left off. Looks like we had a lot of comments below. So do appreciate all you. Dodger Blue for you. We need to make the Incline the biggest Dodgers pod, in my opinion. Better than Dodgers Nation. Dodger Blue for you. I appreciate the kind words. And let's do it. Let's get this podcast growing. Love you guys out there for the support. Los Dodgers World Series champs. Should we believe anything Dave Roberts says? When it comes to injuries, I don't know, to be honest. It seems to be the opposite of whatever Dave Roberts says when it comes to injuries. Brustar Gratterall, he says he has a grade 3 hamstring tear, and then the next day it gets upgraded to a hamstring tear or a hamstring grade 1, which never happens. It's always the opposite. It's always worse than what they say. But apparently Gratterall's coming back, so maybe Dave Roberts needs to overestimate these injuries, and good things will start happening for the Dodgers. Because this is the same fool that said Yancy Almonte had a minor knee injury and would be back in a few days, and then he missed the rest of the season, which was a few months. This is the same guy that said we caught whatever Tony Gonsolin's forearm tightness was early, so it shouldn't be anything severe. Then he was out for months and basically got Tommy John. So Max Muncy, he said he would miss the minimum 10 games. It's been like 100 games. So no. The answer is no. We should not believe anything Dave Roberts says. They said Clayton Kershaw was healthy last season. He needed shoulder surgery, so I'm sick of this bullshit. Ivy, have you ever tried the Five Guys patty melt? It's phenomenal. No, Ivy, I have not tried the patty melt. And with all due disrespect to Five Guys, they're overrated. They're not a good burger chain anymore. There was a time where I thought Five Guys was pretty solid, but at this point, I'm walking out paying like $30 for a hamburger, fries, and a drink. Now, screw that. Five Guys, you're not having my money anymore. In-N-Out is far superior. Not even a debate. we've probably had this conversation before, but yeah, I'm done with Five Guys. I don't think I'm ever going to go there again in the rest of my life. I'm quitting on them. They're done. We've got people saying health. You got your wish. Aaronetic, is this our only stream this week, or will we have our usual Monday show too? I think we're going to probably have a Wednesday or Thursday show after this Mariners series. So nothing official yet. Everyone's schedules are sporadic. Jake's busy. He's got his softball stuff he's managing. Couldn't make it tonight, but he'll be back. And maybe Coach will come on or someone. We'll get some guests. But yeah, we'll have another show later this week. Probably Wednesday if we're doing it, because I just remembered I'm actually flying to Vegas on Thursday, and I'll be there all weekend. I don't know if I've said it on this podcast. Probably have before. I'm a big Vegas guy. It's my top five city for me in the U.S. I love Las Vegas. It's amazing out there. I'm going to make some bets. We're going to bet some baseball. Oh, yeah. It's going to be a good time. Going to see the Killers Hot Fuss residency show. So I'm excited. Always have fun in Vegas. Excellent city. So, yeah, I'm leaving on Thursday for Vegas. So try to squeeze in the show on Wednesday for you guys. I don't see any other questions yet. Corey Shadid. We should get a collaboration with The Incline and Jeff and Vince from Locked On Dodgers. Yeah. Not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I'll just leave it at that. There will not be a collaboration with that show. Other shows, yeah. I mean, I would love to make it happen. I reach out to them, but I don't get the invites back for some reason. But if you want to bug them, please do so. Drop it below in their comments. Make it happen. See that there's a demand out there to get these collaborations going, and we'll make your dreams come true. BC, how often are these streams? Once a week. We're going to do a stream at least once a week, but ideally with this stretch now and some big games for the Dodgers, hopefully twice a week. Personally, I would love to have a consistent schedule out there. It just doesn't seem to happen, but we post on our X feed when we're going to do shows or social media, so try to keep the people in the loop. But yeah, once to twice a week for sure. We don't take a week. I don't take weeks off. I'm like the Freddie Freeman version of the podcasting. I don't do it every day, but I'll do it every week. I don't take weeks off. Okay, so until you guys have final questions, we're going to continue with the last topic. So the Dodgers play the Mariners. We talked about Justin Turner. The final pitching, the way the pitching is lined up, we've got Gavin Stone against Wu. And then I'm going to pause here to talk about Walker Buehler against Bryce Miller. So this is going to be a big start for Walker Buehler. He has not been good for the Dodgers at all this season. He had one good appearance against the Reds where I believe he threw six innings of shutout ball. But other than that, it's been very bad for Walker Buehler. He's 1-4 with a 5.58 ERA, 34 strikeouts across 40 innings thrown, and a whip of 1.5. In his most recent appearance against the Brewers, it was bad, no doubt about it. He only was able to go 3 1/3 innings, made 87 pitches, 46 of them being strikes. Kevin Kiermaier bailed him out in the first inning because he walked the bases loaded. He walked everyone, so the bases were loaded. Kevin Kiermaier made an amazing defensive center field grab and then threw out the runner to prevent some scoring from happening. But this was an ugly game for Buehler, no doubt about it. I mean, I've seen many fans online already calling for him to be DFA'd. I don't know where you guys stand in terms of Walker Buehler, but to me, he's earned at least one more start. And if he looks bad in this start, then I think that's it. I think you wrap it up, throw it in the trash can, and you call it a day with Walker Buehler. But yeah, like Paul C is mentioning, he needs to go five innings. 3 1/3 is just inexcusable. Like, we need length out of our starters, especially at this point in the season. No more of these bullpen games. So this is the big one for Walker Buehler. If Walker Buehler gets pummeled again or he looks bad, that might be it. And he's kind of got some leeway now with the injuries. But if Walker Buehler goes out there and gets shelled or just doesn't look good, then I think you got to give Landon Knack the spot in the rotation. But this is why I'm giving Walker Buehler one more shot, because he's freaking Walker Buehler. And if anyone's able to overcome the adversity, it's this guy. So I'm excited to see what he's going to do against these Mariners. This is a Mariners team that is very inconsistent in terms of their offense. They've got a Rosarena now. They've got Justin Turner. They've got Julio Rodriguez. But overall, this isn't a Mariners team that's going to light anyone up on the scoreboard. So this is a good chance for Walker Buehler to have a bounce back. And who knows? Maybe he'll go out there and shove, and this is the start of a great run for Buehler. And then the final game is Logan Gilbert against Jack Flaherty. Jack Flaherty has been pretty awesome for the Dodgers. So should be a good series. Hopefully the Dodgers take care of business and win this series for the Seattle Mariners. But if we don't have any other final questions, this will probably conclude the show, guys. So want to appreciate everyone for watching and keeping it electric in the chat. So unless we get any final questions, going to end the show right here. So thank you guys for listening to this week's episode of the Incline Dodgers podcast. Again, we're presented by Tick Pick and Fansided. If you're listening on the audio feed, if you haven't become a subscriber yet, hit that subscribe button. That way you'll be alerted when new episodes drop. If you're watching on the YouTube channel, subscribe here as well. That way you'll get notified when we go live and when there's new content released. And we're always talking Dodgers, and we want to make sure that you guys feel included and get your thoughts out there. That's the main point of this podcast. Let me share the Discord link real quick so that we can get anyone in here that isn't a part of our Discord yet into the Discord chat. So I'm dropping that link right now. And there you go. So yeah, thank you guys for watching tonight.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.